Yo, what's up, everybody? I'm WWE Hall of Famer Charles Wright, also known as Papa Shango, also known as Kama, also known as the Good Father, and most importantly, also known as the Godfather. And I want you to sit back, crack a beer, light up a blunt, or two or three, and hop on the train, because you're listening to Such Good Shoot with Dozer, Isaac, and Shane. And those are my homeboys. So it's time, once again, for everybody to come aboard the home train. Shout out, baby. Y'all keep it pimping. Peace.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, D-Generation X, proud to bring to you tag team champions of the world, the Road Dog Isaac Gresser, the badass Shane Green, X-Pac,
the New Age Outlaw, Dozer.
Shoot. And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Oh, well.
Man, that means I'm ass guy, dude.
You are an ass man. I thought I was the ass man. What is fucking a whatever.
That's what happens when it happens spontaneously.
That was intense, dude. I wasn't even ready for that.
Yeah, that scared me.
Here we go.
So welcome to the show this week, guys. Apparently this week, am I correct in reading my notes here? We're doing something modern. We're talking about modern wrestling.
Something that happened yesterday. It's immaculate. It's crazy.
Yesterday, dude. This is like the fucking most like up-to-date modern thing we've done.
It's almost relevant.
Like, Shane is going to fucking love today. This is going to be like one of his favorite episodes.
Dude, no, probably not.
Man, there's no alcohol.
Dude, it's Coors Light.
This is they make a melon Mountain Dew now, and I'm kind of a fucking sucker for anything watermelon flavored.
Yeah, you should mix it with the Coors, man. See how that goes.
Ooh, I'm gonna mix it in my belly.
Oh, that sounds nasty. So we're going to talk about last night's NXT. We're going to talk about two bangers from New Year's Evil. We're going to skip the rest of the show because Dexter Lumis creeps me the fuck out.
Dexter Lumis reminds me of, like, I don't know if this is, I bet it's around you. I don't know how it is in Ohio, but I'm almost positive it's the same around. How many methed out roofers have you seen that look exactly like Dexter Lumis?
Dude, absolutely none. At least here in Ohio. Here in Columbus, Ohio, anybody looks like Dexter Lumis, they're probably hanging out at one of the many kink and daddy clubs.
Oh, no, they're all doing meth and working on roofs here.
Oh, yeah, no.
So, you know, before we get into that, we have a couple recurring segments we do. Shane, do you have a Sheik of the Week?
I have it pulled up here. Give me about 2 seconds.
Dos.
Yeah, okay. Here's what may be a good one. Bob the Train, you are big time jabroni. I don't know what that is. Here's some more current events for the people in the sports land of basketball. James Harden, Bubba, I know it's good, but put the fucking cheeseburger with a side of cheddar fries down, Bubba.
Okay. Coming from him, that's pretty good.
I'm going to come at you with a Sheik of the Week. If I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, I would break his fucking neck just to be safe.
That's good, dude.
Holy so, man, we have that, and do we want to make the announcement about next week's show now or after we bore the people
Let's
talking about modern
wrestling? We got a big announcement coming up at some point in the podcast.
Ooh, big announcement.
Big, dude.
It's big. Probably has Stay tuned.
Something to do with Bob Train or Trains or...
Trains,
the yeah,
Nick Bockwinkel,
the original Taker.
So, do we want to start with the New Year's Evil or start with last night? Where are we starting, guys?
Why don't we start with New Year's Evil since it took place 2 weeks ago?
Sure.
Okay. So, one of the first of the two bangers we're talking about, we're going to talk about the Last Woman Standing match between Raquel Gonzalez taking on Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley.
Who want to go?
Rhea Ripley. Somebody go. Not me. Not
Rhea
it.
Ripley. Okay. So first of all, I really do think Rhea Ripley is fucking awesome. Like for the big woman, I think she's like the money of the two. Dozer and I were talking before you hopped on, and I think both of us are in agreement that we don't fully understand and are not fully on board with Gonzalez and her being like the next China. Like, I'm legitimately more scared of Rhea Ripley than I am of her.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think she physically feels as big and intimidating as they're trying to sell her to be.
No, she's a little too. She needs some meat on her bones or something, muscle or.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but you also like have to remember, especially in like an NXT sense, you know, at least the way WWE wants to work. I'm not that familiar with Raquel Gonzalez, so, and I know that she and Rhea were great friends before, and we'll get into that a little bit in the match, whatever. Raquel doesn't have enough experience in NXT. Like, they've kind of strapped a rocket to her ass and have just let it go because they're calling Rhea up soon, so they need that big, you know what I mean, that very large and not in a demeaning way woman. But yeah, I don't think I'm fully on board with her yet, but she's had two really impressive showings recently. I mean, really, really impressive. That War Games match, she was the fucking star, other than, you know, at least for her team.
And I agree, and I'm not saying that she's a bad wrestler. And I'm not saying that she's bad in ring, and I'm not saying that she has, like, she doesn't have something. What I'm saying is that they're trying to say that she's like fucking Andre the Giant, and they're trying to convince us something of like her being bigger than she is. And I'm like, I just feel like,
I mean, she's pretty much as big as Rhea, man. Like, you
know, pretty much as big as Rhea, but like, it doesn't feel as intimidating when you're trying to bill her as being like this huge badass, and she's like the same size as whoever she's. I don't mind those matches, but I don't want like what feels off is her being built as like a giant.
Well, I mean, Rhea's a very large woman, and she's about the same size as Rhea. I mean, to me, the way they build the match was like monster versus monster. It wasn't like she's bigger than Rick. Like, obviously, maybe in commentary in the match, they were. You know, they may have been pushing that, obviously, because Rhea's on her way out the door.
And in prior battles. Since the beginning, they've hinted that she's the second coming of China.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not fully on board with her as, like, a champion yet, but I also feel like they need to take time to, like, add more really credible wins to her, like, to her portfolio. And also maybe flesh out her character a tad bit more, and then she'll end up feeling like by the time they get to that point, hopefully the NXT women's title scene will be ready and they can just, you know, put all that together, plop her right in, and it'll make a lot more sense.
I don't mind.
Flesh out her character, you mean give her one?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't care about it. Like, watching her fight is fine. My only issue is
Ryan, you're awesome.
Ryan, you are fucking awesome. I don't know where that came from, but you're the
main. Go, Ryan.
But it's to try and sell her as like something that I don't like with my own eyes see, like, is weird to me. And I think
that
if they just went about packaging her as herself as a fucking badass, like, it's like Shayna Baszler in fucking NXT. She doesn't have to be the biggest. She doesn't have to be the meanest. You know what I mean? And like doing something along those lines.
Well, yeah, but Raquel Gonzalez isn't an MMA fighter. Like, I feel like it's a like that's a super unfair comparison, because all you have to do is search Shayna Baszler MMA on YouTube and then you just understand. Like,
but even without that, I never watched Shayna Baszler in MMA, but like her character and the way they portrayed her was that she was just a fucking monster badass and not like a monster size wise. And for me, it's just like, okay, I get that she's like larger than like most women, but she's not fucking a giant. Just bill her as a badass. Let her be a badass and don't pretend she's something she's not.
I mean, yeah, but like, quite frankly, women in general, not me, I'm fucking big in the stomach and tiny in the verticality. But again, like, women in general tend to be smaller than men, so you don't get too many legitimately giant women. Like, compare, like, especially if you see her next to, like, Candice LeRae and things, she is fucking huge, man. Like, she, comparative to anyone on this show right now, other than you, Isaac, because you're really tall, she's way bigger than me and Dozer. Way bigger.
I'm a short fuck. Like, my mom was 4'8", so I'm like really fucking short.
And I'm shorter than him.
You are. I've spun you around. It's kind of cute and funny at the same time.
I almost died. I just picture Steven, the fucking Italian man, spinning Shane Green like a pizza.
Oh, yeah, dude. It was in a...
It's happened. There's video evidence of it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's a... it was in a tap room in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, my God.
Shout out to Warped Wing Brewery in Dayton, Ohio.
It was Warped Wing, yeah.
And they had a WrestleMania pinball machine.
They did, but...
sorry.
Anyways, it's fine. Like, comparative to like me and Dozer, she is giant, man. And like, I look at her and I think it's totally believable to bill her as like the huge girl.
Okay. Well,
I mean, obviously she's not like Awesome Kong size, but like that or Nia Jax, you know what I mean? But that's like different ish. You know what I mean? Like
it. So I'm just pulling up her page here. She is billed at 6 foot tall, 176 pounds.
6 foot what?
6 foot flat. 6 foot.
176.
Yeah.
That's okay. A pretty big woman. I mean,
that's all right. I mean,
she weighs as much as my right leg, but I'm also a fat fuck, so.
They, but yeah, on to the match.
There were some great spots in this match. I actually rather enjoyed them. I enjoyed the table spot where. Oh, dear God, Rhea was broken.
Christ, yo, she fucking, yeah.
That was Shawn Michaels' level of breaking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yo. Or Vince when he dove off the cell at Bad Blood. Yeah. The table was way too far away from him. Yeah, just landed on the side, clunk.
Yeah, she's fucking accordion. Yeah, that was dope. That was dope. The door spot with the glass breaking was a great spot. That looked really cool.
I Dakota Kai's interference and stuffing her in the locker.
Yeah, dude, and I
way too hard for that shit.
I loved the camera angle that they had for her, like hitting her with the door repeatedly. I thought that looked incredible. Like, I've never been a fan of spots like that. Like, unless they're really doing it, you know what I mean? You can tell they're laying it in. That looked amazing.
Yeah. No, and I think that's like one of the things is like. As they're going along, you know, and as you see sort of at the end of this match, they're just getting much better at when they actually use like pre-recorded stuff and how they like slide it in.
Yeah, and
oh shit, bro. You got your saber, bro?
Also, Raquel throwing Rhea into the timekeepers, the bell, and her ringing it, dude. I laughed so hard.
Fucking primo spot there.
I laughed pretty hard. Even I thought that was funny because it was just so stupid.
You're yeah, it was like, so.
That's yeah, it made me laugh.
Yeah, but it was strong back and forth action. They battled to the back. They come back out. Dakota Kai gets stuffed in a locker. And the match ends with Raquel Gonzalez power bombing Rhea through the stage.
and that was
clearly made of foam.
But that was also another one of those moments that like was so. I mean, it was obviously pre-recorded. Like that part wasn't recorded live because there was no shots of the crowd at all in it with that. And like I think the way they did it, because the timing on it was so perfect. Like it felt like like they might have tried to have him climb out of that hole a couple times to get that 9.5 count on it. But it, I mean, either way,
I mean that looked live to me. I mean, it, you know, the backstage stuff clearly was pre-recorded, and like I don't think it took away from it at all. But
yeah. If it wasn't, then they did a good job. But if it wasn't, you know, it was, they did a really good job of hiding it.
So here's me being pedantic, which is what I am best at. From where the ref was standing, there is no way he could have told at the 10 count that Raquel had 2 feet standing up. He was looking straight into the hole at Rhea Ripley. That's true. Last time he looked at Raquel, she was still not vertical.
God damn.
Well, the ref fucked up.
Well, the ref fucks up every match. It's like a zero stars. Like the law of wrestling.
Zero stars.
They're fucking embarrassments, I'm telling you.
You know, it's a disgrace, folks.
We need to get Vampiro on this ref.
You know, it's a real
Which,
sad state of
little America. Bit of cheap plug, Vampiro. Virtual mark out coming soon to PWJ.
Yeah, next Vampiro's week is it? Coming, bro. I yeah, gotta get
next,
on that.
Next
so
Monday,
ask him
I think.
About fucking about white fairy boots.
No, you have to ask him about the Human Torch match.
Fuck,
you,
dude, I am
you
so
dingus.
Much more interested in him calling the fucking dude with the white boots.
Rep the pod. You might be able to get Vampiro on here.
The Human Torch match was our first match.
Yeah, you dork.
But how many times have we brought up the goddamn looking at the hole of Rhea Ripley? Yeah. Yeah. All right. No comment. No comment.
But, I'll drink to that.
But yes, I have one comment.
But anyways, yeah, match rating. I think we should do one.
Should we rate it?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
I'd say three stars. That was a 3-star match. It was good for a last man or woman standing match, which is not typically like a stipulation I'm really into. Like, it was an entertaining match. I was into it the whole time. I never got annoyed by the 10 counting.
There was the count wasn't there.
Yeah, I never got annoyed by that, which was great. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, oh, she's back on their feet. Ah,
this makes no sense, but it's a 3.75.
I was marking out when I was watching this match live, and that's why we're doing this. I legitimately think that this may be my favorite kind of big girl wrestling match of all time. Like, I just love
that's a short list.
Exactly. But I, you know, I really
even on that list.
Something in Awesome Kong.
Yes. Probably that some of that shit from TNA Lockdown. But anyways, yeah, to me, this was like a 4.25 star match. Like, I can easily see myself coming back and watching this, like, okay, semi-regularly.
Well, that makes great sense. And that brings us into the next banger we reviewed from, we watched from New Year's Evil. And that is the NXT Championship match between Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly
Auto Parts.
Jaw Parts.
Yeah, Aaron left us a comment. He says he wants to see the count from Sesame Street as a referee now. Dude, man, I'll do it. I'll pretend. What? 2.5. That okay. Was a rope break. You had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fingers on the rope, huh?
So, Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly.
It's just going to turn into me doing fucking Muppets for the rest of the show.
That's my other podcast, not now.
Yeah, you got to go be a guest on Diz Idiots, dude.
Yeah. The Diz Idiots live every Tuesday at 9:05 p.m.
If you want Kermit the Frog on Diz Idiots, let me know, dude. I know him. I got it. That's when I.
Well, we know you're very familiar with green things, normally of the leafy variety.
But what's green and smells like pork?
Dude, Isaac loves lettuce. Let me tell you, it's salad.
Yo.
Oh God.
Okay, I'm trying to steer this train back onto the goddamn tracks. Will somebody talk about Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly?
These two guys, I mean, like, God,
I'm getting more whiskey.
They're so fucking good. Like, both of those guys are so good at what they do. Almost too good to ever fight each other again.
Well, if they fight each other again, they may actually kill themselves.
No, each other. There's no way that they'd marauder themselves, but you know. Yeah, this match felt very different and very similar to their last match. Like, the storytelling in this match was next level. Like, obviously, Balor kicking the ropes after O'Reilly bit them to release the hold, which is the stupidest thing I've ever seen, but it was cool.
Seen before, and it's on free TV. That was great.
Yeah, and he kicks the ropes, and then obviously O'Reilly is doing an excellent job. Like, he did an excellent job the entire match of selling this jaw. Like, and he was very real with it to the point where he wouldn't attack sometimes, and he would just, like, hold it, and he would hold it in between doing things. He was very committed to selling that jaw.
The doctor came to check on him after the...
I'm fine.
Yeah, it was good. He did great, man. That was fucking great.
And then kept
playing into that.
Yeah, and then you had, you know, Balor selling this bad arm and O'Reilly just being tenacious in attacking. I mean, kicks, very stiff, real kicks, you know what I mean? And just hold to hold, just very, very tech.
Dude, busted fucking Balor's temple open.
Yeah, Balor's bleeding all over the place towards the end. You know, and then Balor hits like that liver kick, and again he acts like you would, other than maybe dropping. You know what I mean? But he gets kicked, and he immediately stops what he's doing and just doesn't know what's happening. Like,
and that's the thing is, like, Jovan comments that, you know, he thinks that O'Reilly's a future champion, it's probably true. But then you look at anyone else in Undisputed Era too, and it's like, you can't, like, they're all so fucking good, dude. They're all so good.
I mean, person, you know, talent by talent, you know, the Undisputed Era is probably, I mean, I don't want to say the greatest wrestling stable of all time, because I'm sure there's Japanese stables I haven't gotten into, you know what I mean? But they are one of the greatest talent stables of all time. I mean, yeah, by all
pure like wrestler, like talent wise, like top to bottom, like, there isn't a weak link there.
No, not at all.
I'm just going to bring this to a screeching halt, and for a rare moment, I am even going to risk a copyright violation here.
Oh shit! All right.
Oh wow.
All right. Here we go.
This is rare shit.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. Oh, by the way, while he's getting this all set up, we have a big announcement coming up, so stay tuned.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the San Francisco earthquake surprises all with a fine example of the Boogalonian face crunch.
Oh, shit. Well, here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live on audio watching Muppets Wrestling. This is old Muppets too, man. This is really
the classic Muppets. This is the good shit.
Yeah, this is like, this is Oz and Jim. Those guys were such good puppeteers, man. They really were. So there is Muppet Wrestling. It's a thing. It's just as
cool
as you would think it would be. Oh my God, look at, they're all tied up there. Yeah, okay.
Oh my God.
This is great.
And I think that's enough of that. But what the hell did we just watch?
What the fuck Muppet was that?
Wrestling. Search the YouTubes for Muppet Wrestling because it's out there.
but anyways, the match itself wasn't as violent as the NXT TakeOver 31. by any means. It was a lot more hold. It was brutal, but it wasn't. Yeah, exactly. No, it was way more technical. And I enjoyed that. I mean, even to the point, like, the finish wasn't anybody's finisher. The finish was cool and felt old school and felt like something that happened organically, which was Balor puts O'Reilly in the abdominal stretch after the liver kick and just starts doing the fucking just shin rub super hard, shim and forearm right on the jaw, and Kyle O'Reilly taps.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good finish. Felt like,
yeah,
it was like a surprise finish. And it's nice when you see them when they're not like the fucking finishes in on the main event are always like, or in the on the main roster. Like most of the time in WWE, just it's so telegraphed, and it's nice when it's just something like that where you're like, oh fuck, all right, cool.
Yeah, like I said, it was just organic. Like they give if. Yeah.
I like that much more than I like the fucking women's match. Personally. It was a 4-star match.
Shane?
Oh, I liked it, I think, as much as I liked the women's match, just in a completely different way. So I'm going to rate it 4.25 as well.
All right. Off to a hot start on this fucking very special episode of Such Good Shoot.
Every episode we have is very special, and yeah, I'm going to give it a 3.75 because I'm a bit of a downer, and it could not hold my attention.
I'm going to give our episode a 4.5, though. I'm going to give us a little room to improve, but we're doing great tonight.
apparently. So hey, that brings us...
Anyone who's watching, just throw up a rating for us right now. How are we doing? What's going
on? Oh, dear God. We don't need negative. We don't need negative rating.
This is a
positive wrestling community.
Yes.
Positive wrestling community.
Yeah, only say nice things about us or else we'll silence you.
Guys, you don't have to say anything nice if you don't want to. Be your authentic self. That's what we're about here on SG.
Well, I just need to say... Jovan says we are a perfect 10.
Out of what?
100. That is our true rating. We are a 69.
I don't understand.
Do you understand if I said we were a perfect 42?
Yeah, bro.
I know you understand. You're high.
Who, me? Oh, I'm a giraffe pussy, bro.
Oh no.
So Wade Green coming in hard with a 3 out of 5.
It's an honest answer. You gotta appreciate it.
It is. And you know what? That brings us to last night's NXT episode, the start of the Dusty Rhodes Classic. American Dream.
Yo, we ain't gonna get a copyright infringement for that, but we're gonna get fucking kicked off the internet.
Dude, he's just a common man with a fucking tag team tournament. Man. Two tag team tournaments now.
Those.
Yes, because he has the women's tag tournament, which was not on this show tonight, which is probably a good thing, because talk about thrown together tag teams. Holy shit.
Yeah. I don't know why they thought this was like a great idea. They don't have enough teams to like field a competent division. Like, so they're like, oh yeah, we're just going to do a 78 team women's tag team. Charlotte Flair will be on 4 different teams. She may end up having to wrestle herself.
She'll be the surprise entrant on there.
It's fucking DDT Pro.
But don't worry. We split up the Iconics.
Yeah, and Nikki and Alexa. Like, I understand why they split up Nikki and Alexa at the very least, but like, why not just keep Nikki being crazy and just hanging out with Bray? You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing with her? They could be sisters, Abigail.
They could do some fun shit with that, though. Vince would make it weird.
Yeah,
he'd make it weird.
Be a menage a trois.
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, this pay-per-view, not pay-per-view. We're just so used to doing that. This event starts with the Weekly Tank Commander, episodic. Shotzi Blackheart, taking on the Poison Pixie, Candice LeRae, who may only be slightly taller than my mother.
And Shotzi, I gotta say, she does have probably the dopest fucking power wheels ever made.
I need it for my daughter. She needs that tank.
Did anyone pay attention when she made her entrance to Wade Barrett going, that thing's pointing right at us. It's lethal. I about pissed myself. I was laughing so hard. Wade Barrett is incredible on commentary.
Oh, yeah. Like, way better than he was as a wrestler.
And Wade wasn't too bad at, I mean, too
no,
bad at
he
wrestling.
Was good.
He got, he. I mean, he did, oh, man, probably more than any new up-and-coming wrestler got. Just the
dude,
absolute
Cena, dude.
Worst fucking Bury treatment, man.
Bill and Ted. And the what the hell's a Bill and Ted?
Hold on. The comment I've been waiting for is coming up.
Oh boy, we got comments. Sister Wives Abigail. Yeah, Robot with the win. Holy shit, the Sister Wives Abigail's. I love it.
I don't know, man. I would watch this show on TLC. I was going to say, I would pay to see Bray on like a 18 Wives and Counting TLC show based out in Utah with our friend Jakob Anderson.
With JoJo and fucking Bray. Dude, did we just shout out the fucking church mouse?
We did.
Wow.
I got a drink to that.
Yeah, I'm going
to
finish.
To the church mouse. A joke no one watching understands.
He blocked me.
But anyways, this match. This match was kind of a match that happened. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in like it was a solid match between these two. And they're both very good at what they do. I liked Shotzi diving out. I liked her being very safe in doing so. Like, you know, it was just a nice back and forth contest. What's her name? Indy Hartwell? Is that her name?
Yeah.
And she was being the annoying, outside interference. You know, she's Austin Theory to Johnny Gargano.
She was my biggest issue with this match.
Yeah, she was all over the place.
Although, I will say it was only the finish that really bothered me. But so when they had the whole bit and fucking Shotzi's up on the ropes and Indy comes running up, she takes a bump for no reason. Like, I don't know if you noticed this, but like fucking Shotzi like goes to swing, I swear to God, after she takes the bump. If you watch that back, because I'm like, what the fuck happened? She just sort of falls off the apron, and then you sort of see fucking Shotzi swinging at her, and it was a very awkward fucking like distraction. The swinging neck breaker was fucking great.
Yeah,
a nice finish. Other than that,
yeah, it was a solid opener to what was really a kind of medial NXT episode. And again, a medial NXT episode is better than every Raw that's taken place in the past 3 years. So there's
expand that.
That
to like 6 years.
But Candice LeRae, I think, will eventually become main roster women's champion. She has the look. She can go for days. She could easily, you know, match up against Sasha, Bayley, Charlotte, Alexa, whoever. She can play heel. She can play face. Like,
I like Candice LeRae, and if I know I am going to reference a show, literally nobody watching this has seen, so I'm not going to bother. But oh my god, she reminds me of the fucking girl from Wicked in GCB, which was this show on ABC called Good Christian Bitches.
Good Christian Bitches. I'll drink to that.
But it was about these bunch of Texas ladies and this short-ass little blonde girl who just kind of ruled the roost, and that is Candice LeRae.
Yeah. I love Shotzi as well. Like, obviously she has the look, but she's fun in ring. She has a cool gimmick. I'll tell you the biggest thing that scares me about Shotzi. Can either of you two take a educated guess of what scares me?
That they're going to use her terribly, terribly, terribly wrong?
Yeah, on the main roster. What the fuck is she going to do when she hits the main roster? Vince is going to have no clue with the green-haired alt, like... She's going to end up as the newest member of Straight Edge Society 2. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe she'll be what finally kills Vince.
Fine.
I hope she's like tomato cheddar and she never goes to the main roster.
Yeah, because I think she's going to do incredible stuff on regular NXT. And I hope they keep her around for another 2-3 years, to be honest, and just let her organically like chew out a place in NXT history. And then if she goes to the main roster and sucks, whatever, she can go to New Japan or not New Japan, but she can go to like Stardom or AEW or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I can't see Vince doing anything with her. But this match was a 3.
I'll agree.
2. It wasn't anything special.
Yeah. I'm sticking with the 3.
Yeah.
Okay, that brings us to our first match of the tag team titles. Hold on.
Can we just...
That's the next match.
It is the next match, but there was a couple of promos between Finn Balor and Pete the Man Bun Dunn.
You mean the over-tanned Pete Dunne?
Dude, slim.
The over-tanned Pete Man Bun Dunne.
Yo, Pete Dunne is slim thick right now. Like, the dude is so thin in the face, like, coming off of quarantine. This man got ripped. He tomato cheddared it. Oh,
Wade
yeah.
Said her name will be changed to Shot, and she'll be added to Retribution. Oh, man.
Ugh. So we tomato cheddared it.
But anyway, yeah, so it was Pete the Man Bun Dunne, and he attacked Finn Balor, and Disputed ran in. Kyle O'Reilly ran in and saved Balor. And then
still selling the jaw.
And then, yeah, and everyone came in, and then Balor rolled out, and there was a thing. I didn't watch most of it. I just watched the part where they pretended to fight. I was like, oh, okay, I see what's happening. Anyway, yeah. So that was a little fun.
Yeah, it was cool seeing the interaction between Kyle and Finn, and like there's this I know I sound like Wrestling with a Regret, but he does the best job. There's this moment where they're like, hey, like, you know, are we friends? Are we not friends? Like, are we cool? Are we gonna fight? Whatever. Finn rolls out. Right after that, they had a backstage segment with Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory, and an NXT guy rolls up and like gives them a package, and it's just a package of drawings from Dexter Lumis, and some of the artwork he does is pretty fucking funny.
Caricature thing was
about? yes and
the fuck is this?
And it really pisses off Johnny and Austin, and Austin does like the whole like, yeah, you go kick his ass for me. He's like, yeah, like, go get him tonight, Buster. Go get him. And Johnny's like, all right, we'll go beat him up. So that sets up for a match later in the night. But it was pretty funny, good, stupid heel comedy. I was a fan.
I see. I was wondering what the hell that was all about, because I skipped most of the backstage.
Yeah, I watched the matches. So that brings us to our next match, which was Ever Rise taking on the Grizzled Young Veterans.
Ever who?
Ever Rise.
Ever Rise.
Is that
Matt Martell and Chase Parker?
Is this something I should know? As
they're one of those up and coming NXT tag teams that's like starting to get used a little bit more in big storylines. They're kind of the next wave. They're going to be in that next wave in once they move Undisputed Era and like Imperium and things like that out. Brizongo.
I don't want to sound like I wasn't impressed. Actually.
Why does Brizongo still have a job?
Because they're incredible.
Anyway. They are, but it's such a shitty gimmick.
Yeah. It's so dumb anyway, but yeah, the Grizzled Young Veterans are great on the mic. That was good. Their promo was good. And then the match, dude, there was like one point, okay, it was there was a hip toss where the James Drake hip tossed Chase Parker. And in the middle of the hip toss, he just came up with a knee to the face. And I was like, okay, that was fucking cool. Like, that's something I've never seen before. Unique move. And I was like, all right, y'all are doing something interesting. And yeah, I got into it.
I really liked in this match. I don't know. I can't remember which grizzled young vet is which. But the long haired gentleman starts getting pissed off,
I feel like is
that's not that's, James Drake. I don't think.
No, I think it's Gibson. Is the bald one and yes. Drake is the haired one.
Oh, maybe. But yeah, but anyways,
Gibson's the bald one because I remember checking out his ass.
Yes.
And I was like, oh.
Well, James Drake.
And he's bald.
And Zach Gibson like pushes him out of the ring forcefully and is like, calm down. Hello. Hello.
We're all here. Don't worry.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to let him think he was alone and see what happened.
he like forces him out of the ring and, you know, makes him calm down. Like, I enjoyed that spot. I thought it made sense. I thought it was something that, you know, obviously it was played up and not realistic in that way, but I thought it was something that you could realistically see two friends doing. Hey, you're too pissed off. Chill. I'm a big fan of the Grizzled Young Veterans, though. Like, I think that they deserve either an NXT UK tag title or a regular NXT title shot soon. They remind me a lot of a new kind of souped up, just old school British brawling tag team. You know what I mean?
They were great. I had no complaints about them. And honestly, I didn't really have any complaints about the other guys either. I mean, I think that obviously the stars were the Grizzled Young Vets, but yeah, it was a surprisingly good match considering I went in knowing nothing about either of them. The finish, the Ticket to Mayhem.
Yes.
Ticket to Mayhem, which was like the flapjack freaking whatever you call that.
The knee Codebreaker.
Codebreaker, yeah, there you go. The flapjack.
No, you're not allowed in WWE. It's the knee, it's the double on your back, knees to the jaw, the face.
Double back knee to the face, yeah.
The reverse backstabber.
Yeah, the flapjack code breaker. And fucking, I was like, that was a great move. And yeah, 1, 2, 3. It was a good match. I think that was 3 stars for me. I liked it more than the... Yo, okay. Check this out, Aaron. Aaron asked a question, and he's asked, and you can't see it. I'm sitting in a gaming chair. If you're listening, and it looks, it really does look like it says Russo. And when I got it and unpacked it, and I was looking, I was like, does that fucking say Russo? And it's Musso. Apparently, it's an M. Yeah, I don't fucking buy it. I think it does say Russo, and
you bought a fucking Russo gaming chair, dude.
If you go on Amazon and look up Russo gaming chair, you won't find this chair. So
you find it on a poll.
If you find a oh Jesus Christ, you fucking asshole.
Isaac duck. Has found that way funnier than it actually was.
No, because it was funny because it's a Vince Russo joke and it's an on a pole joke.
Oh. Yeah, this is Vince Russo, and I am here to
put off the rails.
I'm Vince Russo, and I'm here to fucking cut a promo. I'm cutting a promo on you guys. You guys all right.
Somebody rate this goddamn match.
3 again.
Yeah, it was a 3. It was a 3. It was definitely a 3. It was.
I'm just going to go with the consensus.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Solid 3. We're all in agreement. Do we drink for agreement or not agreement? Sure, who cares?
No. Oh, okay.
No. Yeah. Come on, man. Oh, shit. I just dropped my lighter.
Okay.
Come back, lighter.
This brings us to our next match, which is a non-title match between North American champion Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory taking on Dexter Lumis. And I have to say, I may shit on Dexter Lumis, but I really do like his ring work. He is good.
Yeah, I love how committed he is to, like, the character, and, like, especially the movement and stuff. He looks legitimately unsettling, the way he just crawls around the ring, and, like, the swiftness. That dude can crawl like that faster than I can move.
And none of it seems unnatural. None of it manages to be fourth wall breaking.
Yeah,
which is amazing.
Like, especially when he goes out early in the match after Johnny and he crawls out of the ring like that and just seamlessly does kind of a, you know, like a front bump into it and then just starts crawling after him again. It's like, yo, this is something from Silent Hill.
Yeah.
He's going crazy. Yeah, I like this match a lot more than I thought I would. And do I think it was incredible? Absolutely not. But
it was good, dude. I mean, let's be honest.
It was entertaining as hell.
Was in it.
Yeah.
It's a 3-star match. Start like at a base level with Johnny Gargano. You got 3 stars.
Yeah, and
I can't disagree. Oh, damn.
But yeah.
He's good. The picture thing, I was like, my note is like, oh God, what the fuck is the picture? But obviously you answered that for me. I mean, I still think it's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't think it's okay, but I think it's dumb. But whatever, the match was good. the weird roll-up interference thing was, kind of reminded me of the first match?
Yeah, that was overkill. That like shit. What do they call their stable?
The Way.
The Way, yes. Like The Way was so all over this show, like especially their lackeys. It felt like too much, and I definitely feel like the finish hurt the match a little bit. Like I would have rather seen Johnny just go over clean and them just admit they have no clue what the hell to do with Dexter Lumis, because it's clear they have no clue what the hell to do with Dexter Lumis.
But like, he hosted New Year's Evil.
They have no clue what the hell to do with Dexter Lumis.
Yo, that was weird. I was like, what is happening? Why is he pushing buttons that turn on strobe lights?
But yeah, like throughout the entire match, you know, Dexter constantly like kipping up and then, you know, doing like these ultra power moves, Johnny kicking the shit out of Dexter over and over again. One point he does, like, it's like a super kick when Dexter's on his knees and they do the slow-mo and you can just see him just super kick Dexter legitimately in the head. Johnny gets a roll up pretty much just like Candace. But then they have this cool camera angle of Austin like trying to get up, and you just see Dexter in the background. In a lot like a horror movie, he just comes crawling on his hands, locks him in, and then some cool stuff happens after the match.
Kushida! Right, I was so excited.
Isaac's so high, he's going back to the future.
Nah, bro, I fucking love Kushida. Yeah, I did. I messaged these guys earlier because I fucking took a few dabs, and I got real high. And I was like, yo, guys, I'm fucking high as shit. I'm like high where like I can feel my eyelids, but not with my fingers, like with my eyes. And then I was like, yo, I'm so high that I'm fucking watching Fandango and fucking, that was later on, Fandango and Tyler Breeze. And I felt like I had time traveled back fucking like 8 years. But,
Well, they both have short hair now, so you're definitely in the year 2000 and 21.
It's a weird fucking, like, I'm giving up on life beard, too.
But yeah, this match, solid work throughout. It's, like Isaac said earlier, it's a Johnny Gargano match. There was all of the normal staples. Dexter Lumis played the giant face question mark. you know, you know, Johnny played the way too confident heel with like the, you know, the buddy backing him who just managed to ink out a win. This was a 3.25 star match.
Yeah, it was a 3-star match. I mean, I don't think it was. Yeah, 3. You know what?
I enjoyed it enough more than the other two.
I'm feeling good.
For all 0.5 of our audio listeners, I gave a 3.
A 3.
Which brings us to our next exciting match.
Owen, you know what else is exciting? At the end of this this review, we're going to have our special, a very special, super special, exciting, big, super duper exciting announcement. Which is
yes,
fucking awesome, bro.
You plug that while I will tell us. Jake Atlas and Isaiah Swerve Scott took on MSK, two people nobody know, but they were known as the Rascals.
And MSK, they're the new guys.
In Impact.
So wait, I don't know who the Atlas dude is.
He was Tony's son.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
He was, I think he was in Evolve. I think he was in that. I'm pretty sure that he was like when they had like that giant amount of Evolve people come over from Evolve, like when they got Austin Theory and stuff. I think he came with them. I'm not totally sure.
God, what was he like? Where do I know him from?
He was a Cruiserweight champion.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seemed like,
and he has a stupid name.
It just seemed like one of those teams. It was just like, okay, you guys are gonna get. In the
they I mean, they mentioned that they were like they've you know, become accustomed to each other rather quickly. The MSK stuff to me didn't work. I don't watch Impact. I don't understand what they do, and they spent no time building them up by making them mystery entrants. So they're like, oh, it's this guy and this guy, and I'm like, I kind of know who they are because I've seen a screenshot of them leaving TNA and coming to NXT. And then here they are, and that match was kind of there. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't bad, but.
Yeah. The standing moonsault off the dude's chest. That was fucking cool. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That was a cool moment. And I was like, all right, these guys are good. But that was it. Like, for me, that was the only moment that stood out in the match.
Well, and this match suffered from knowing who was going to win going into it, simply because like the debuting mystery entrance, even though they spent no time building them up, they're not going to lose unless this is the Crockett Cup. They're not going to lose to like the thrown together team. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen on any show that has any sanity.
Yeah. That is a true statement.
Yeah, I can't fucking argue with you, you cocksucker.
That is almost as bad as the next match, but we gotta rate this match first.
Yeah, I 1.5.
2.
It was a match 1.
There was only thing I really liked about it was that standing moonsault.
I see good things coming from the Rascals. I mean MSK, but I gotta learn who they are in this context.
Do we know what MSK stands for?
Murder sex kill. Jinx, you owe me a beer.
Wait, is it really?
Probably. They were called the Rascals in TNA with a Z and another Z.
Science kinetics.
The commentators so tried to point to it. Oh wow, look at what those Rascals are doing.
Mystery science killer shrews.
This brings us to our next exciting match of Xia Li with Boa taking on.
God, dude,
I don't fucking know. It says local talent on my list.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, I don't know who it was. It was about.
It was pointless.
Seconds. It was a spin.
Oh.
Face.
So the whole thing with Xia Li, again, you two don't really watch. Xia Li was like a jobber before, and then they repackaged her and brought her back as this badass, like with like the total weird stuff. Dude, she beat the shit out of that jobber. when they were close up and she's punching her in the stomach, dude. I was like, that looks like it sucks.
No shame.
They barely landed.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about the mystery throne person, etc., and the whole like?
Oh, I think it's. I think it's. I think it's goofy, but I think it's just par for the course enough with NXT that does one really goofy thing every once in a while. They did the House of Horrors shit with Dexter Lumis and the To the Moon.
Does it remind you of anything?
Oh, witch?
No, maybe a different promotion.
Oh, yeah, Lucha Underground, totally.
It's very Lucha Underground. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, even just like it reminded me of the I don't remember what the Black Lotus Clan Triad.
Yeah, the Black Lotus Triad.
A mix of that and then the Mil Muertes as the fucking like king, like ruler of the.
Yeah. Hey, Wade, real quick in the comments, let Isaac know what you think about, what you thought about Io taking the chair Mick Foley death bump from hell from Pentagon. It's goofy, but I like Xia Li. I think this character works. I think that she's got some good shit coming her way. I think it's going to be fun to see whoever's in the chair. It's not going to be Hornswoggle, that's for sure.
You don't know that yet.
It's NXT. It won't be Hornswoggle, that's for sure.
I have no idea what to think because it was literally a quarter second. Apparently, it was technically a match, so it gets a star.
I think for what it was effective. I mean, I think it's like a 1.5 because it was just a...
Come on, man.
But
chew bubblegum kick ass.
Yeah, I mean, I think
my shirt. I am a huge They Live fan. Let's just be honest. That's my it's a great movie. John Carpenter is an incredible director, and that might be. Yeah. The Pentagon death bump with fucking Io Shirai was incredible. That whole
match. Yeah, I showed him a couple Lucha Underground highlights. Highlight videos. I feel like it's unfair to rate it as a match because it wasn't really. I feel
but
like
it
you
was
have to...
a bell rung and a bell rung.
Okay, no, I mean no, as a match
lose to fucking Sheamus in like a second and a half.
Well, yeah, but what I was gonna say is you kind of have to rate it as a segment, but as a match, it's a one. As a segment, it's much higher than that because I feel like it was very effective. But as a match, it's a one.
Dude, They Live is happening right now, bro. That's
I have never seen They Live.
Shut the front door.
You say that on this show?
I mean,
why
just
would I not just say shut the fuck up?
I'm just because
apparently
I'm,
we're censoring ourselves now.
I'm being honest with myself and everyone else.
Shane, we need to do a viewing party somehow and watch that together because it really is not only okay. How much South Park have you watched? I know it sounds
like a lot of questions. A lot.
Cripple Fight. Have you watched Cripple Fight?
Oh, of course.
You know the actual Cripple Fight between fucking Jimmy and Timmy?
Yes.
That is a shot for shot stolen animation from They Live, from an actual fight in They Live.
Well, that's the
whole joke behind that whole scene is it's like it literally is like a shot for shot remake of a fight between Roddy Piper and his co-star in an alley over get this wearing a pair of sunglasses. God, it's such a good movie. But yeah, yes. Anyway,
yeah,
incredible movie.
So at some point. Before this next match, because it's the main event, they did have a backstage interview with Tomato Cheddar and Tim Thatcher, and they're just one-upping each other. It was decent television. They're going to have a fight pit match next week. I'm very excited.
Dozer's very excited, too. He was like, yeah, this is great.
I have a toddler. Give me a break.
Hey, bro, you're preaching to the choir, homeboy.
Yeah. I know I am.
Preaching to this choir.
Preaching to my, yeah. You know what, though? Speaking of my my gentleman bits, we should shout out our sponsor. Balltrimmers.com has sponsored us in the past, and there really is nothing like a freshly shaved
Snitsky's here.
And you know what though, Shane, you can't pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about because you got waxed recently, didn't you?
Yeah, we mentioned this. Yes, my girlfriend Erin bet me that I would not handle waxing and the bits well, and I handled it just fine because
I saw a video of it, and I swear to God, I was on her side on this one. I thought Shane was gonna be.
I agreed. He was gonna scream.
I didn't react at all because I'm a fucking badass, like we said earlier.
I thought he was gonna scream like Paige mid match.
No, Shane really like. Talk about fucking testicular fortitude. This man had the hair ripped out of his fucking testicles and was just like, yeah? Yeah, you think that's bad?
Yeah, it didn't come on too bad.
Mad props.
But
Ball trimmers.
Poor Wade has to listen to this.
Yeah, so on to the main event of the evening, which is the team of the Undisputed Era, which in this case is Adam Cole and Roderick Strong versus Breezango.
Yeah, this is when I said I was fucking so high that I could feel my eyelids and that I felt transported back in time because I was Tyler Breeze and fucking
Fondon. Dude, like... They're kind of serious. Like, the name is stupid, absolutely. But they're not, like, a joke anymore. They are a serious tag team that, yeah, like, they have fun and whatever. But, like, they're not joke Breezango hanging out with the Ascension anymore. They are an established tag team that is treated with respect. They just happen to lose against a tag team that's treated with more respect.
Sorry, Wade. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. Okay, who am I kidding? It was fun.
But yeah, this match was filled with a lot of back and forth action, just a lot of solid tag teamwork. Roddy Strong was delivering vicious backbreakers from hell all over the place. That's what he does. Adam Cole was Adam Cole. Breezango, we're very good at being both underdogs and kind of on top of the action and beating down Adam Cole. It was just a really solid tag team match and something that I think you would expect from the NXT Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Tournament. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was good. No, it was good.
The right team won, being the Undisputed Era. They continued the story from early in the night because Pete Dunne has been told he needs to deal with Kyle O'Reilly first. So he comes down, he comes down to beat up Kyle O'Reilly some. Finn Balor comes out, returns the favor from earlier in the night, sort of. Then they get beat up. Show ends with Pat McAfee's gang minus Pat McAfee standing over the all the baby faces.
Which, how weird is it to have Pat's pack without Pat?
What the fuck happened there?
They just took him off television.
We just have an over-tanned Pete Dunne.
No, but is there still any actual like dirt sheet info?
They literally just took him off television. They never said why. There's been nothing. I would guess they're waiting until maybe Pete wins the title from Finn because I think that's the route they're gonna go. I don't think he'll win it the next NXT TakeOver. But I think they're hoping that by the time the NXT TakeOver after this one happens, they might be able to pack a little bit more people into a venue. And that's going to be the ending to the show is Pete Dunne beating Finn and then Finn returning to the hellscape known as Raw or SmackDown.
Don't say that. don't say that. Yeah, this was this, but that last match was all right. It was a solid 2.75, 3. You got gave it a 4.
This was the best match of the night, man. This was like a 3.5 to me.
Just nothing on this show really stood out to me.
It was a free TV show. What do you expect?
Well, I'm still rating it along the same lines as I rate every other match we watch.
Because as you should, because you know we review schlock.
Schlack?
Schlack.
No, we don't review Schlack. We can't find enough of his shit to review it.
Schlack.
Yo, shout out to Schlack.
Yo, okay, hold on a second, guys.
Time out.
We've all reviewed this show. We've got two choices here. Next week on Such Good Shoot.
What are the two choices? What the
fuck? We could get Schlack, which I almost wish we had. Or we could get fuck, dude. Who would smoke weed with us?
Matt Riddle.
Matt Riddle. Do we have Matt Riddle next week? No, we don't.
No, I don't. We don't. Maybe RVD would smoke weed with us.
Yo, we have RVD next week. No, we don't.
No, we don't. Do you think Godfather would smoke?
Yo, what's up, everybody? I'm WW.
Godfather would smoke weed with us. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children, we don't really give a fuck.
Yeah, children of ages 18 or over.
Do not fucking watch this show. Go to bed. Go to bed.
10 o'clock, Pro Wrestling Junkies exclusive. We've got WWE Hall of Famer Charles Wright, The Godfather, Papa Shango, Kamala.
Good father. Kamala.
Kamala. Did I say Kamala? I didn't mean Kamala because I'm fucking drunk. I meant
Kamala Mustafa.
Whatever.
Yeah, anyway. Kamala's dead, and we don't. Kamala, that's it. Yeah.
We got Kamala too. I got, Papa Shango. And as I alluded to earlier, the original Taker. The original fucking Taker, the soul Taker, Charles Wright. Charles Wright will be a guest here.
On Such Good Shoot, we're going to interview his ass. If you have any questions, please send them to one of us. We'll happily ask them. Yeah. This ain't a virtual markout. We're asking the questions, but yeah, we'll take whatever you can give.
And do our work for us. Nat showed up just at the end. My cat, we got a drink.
Nat attack.
Yeah, if you got any questions, shoot them over. We'll try and get a mask. But yeah, we're gonna sit down. We're gonna hang out with him for the whole episode. We got it for an hour. We're gonna shoot the shit. We got a lot of stuff we want to talk about. We want to smoke some weed. We want to talk about some of his favorite moments. We want to talk about his career. We want to talk about different characters. But really, we want to know what you want to know too. So stick with us because next week is a really big episode for us.
Biggest episode ever.
I bought myself a pimp hat, guys.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, God. I got to go on Amazon for that. Remember to like, subscribe, ring that bell icon, even though we're on Facebook and we don't have a goddamn bell icon to ring. Say Scrooge McDuck. Do whatever you need to do. Until next time. We'll catch you with the Godfather because pimping ain't easy, and y'all better get on the
ho train.